don't get to miss it next year, because I like to go to that. So in addition to our resiliency and our ability to recover, we have a lot of partners across the state and across the country who are eager to work with us, and I think that's also going to help us. Pam, I just have to give you a shout out. I have to thank you. I called Pam personally and asked her if she would mind chairing this recovery subcommittee based on her experience, on the fact that when we do our rural roundups, Pam is always there. And so she has a kind of long-term knowledge of Nevada and what we have to offer and what we can do with what we have to offer. So thank you, Pam. And thank you to the other members of the task force that are here. You were each handpicked on who we would have in this subcommittee, and that each of you were picked because we really felt that you had something to offer. So thank you. I think that this forum will provide many opportunities to discuss things, to talk about nuances, who our partners are, where our opportunities are, how we can overcome the challenges that we have in front of us so that we can get visitors soon. I have been talking to various people about conventions, how we can open the state up again to conventions. I think that if people are coming here for conventions, they will add on a day. I can't imagine anyone traveling for work who isn't like, now that I'm out of the house, I gotta add another night. And so that also is a part, is an opportunity for us. So please enjoy, while you have work ahead of you, this is the kind of work that we all value. And so please enjoy your time at the forum today. I'll take any questions if people want it before you guys get going, but I just wanted to come in and say hello and thank you.
Any questions from committee members? Thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor. We have appreciated your leadership and your support, and we know you're in the middle of a legislative session, and that you get to go back and herd cats.
Play dates, and then today it was like, oh, we're going on for a long time. I was like, yeah, okay, we've been waiting for these dates, so that's what we're doing. Yes, that's what we're doing.
Oh, thank you for your service.
All right, thank you guys, and thanks so much again. It's really important what you're doing. I see Madeline there. Hello, she's phenomenal. I see Patty. Okay, all you guys, thank you. Brenda, thank you. Jessica, thank you very much. Jane, thank you. Okay, take care.
Thanks. We do have Madeline Burak from the Governor's Office. She is Governor Sisolak's Director of Community Outreach and Constituent Affairs and works directly with so many of the communities that are represented and the industries that are represented here today, and is doing a great job under unprecedented challenges. So, Madeline, we are really pleased you're here, and if you can give us some words from the Governor's Office.
Sure, absolutely. Good afternoon. Can I put a thumbs up so you can hear me? Okay, great. So, just thank you so much, and good afternoon to Pam and all the members of this committee, and I know she signed off, but also to a big thank you to Lieutenant Governor Marshall for convening this group. This is great. I'm just really honored to be here, so thank you. I'm very happy to be speaking with this particular committee today, and first to commend y'all for all the work you're doing to keep our tourism industry afloat and pressing forward during these extremely tough times we've been experiencing and that the last year has brought.
Brianna, Brianna Gilbert, can you please mute?
So I've been asked to share an uplifting message from the Governor's Office, and I am so thrilled to say that there are great days on the horizon. And before we get there, though, I do want to just take a look back. And I'm sure everyone in this meeting can vividly remember, as I do, that a year ago yesterday, with COVID cases on the rise and hospitalizations on the rise, the Governor had to make a very tough decision to shut down our hospitality industry, and all non-essential businesses were also ordered to close in an effort to slow the spread and flatten the curve, which I haven't said those words in a very long time. But Nevadans were confined to their homes, and many, as we were just discussing, lost work, and there's now significant unemployment, and I think we became very familiar with the reality that this virus is not only extremely contagious, but that it was going to be with us for a lot longer than anyone could have anticipated, and now here we are a year later. But this decision, I know the governor only made it with the safety and health of Nevadans in mind, and it was not made lightly. But true to the battle-born spirit of all Nevadans, nonetheless, we all pulled through this really difficult time and through this last year and supported each other. And what I can say is I believe, and I know the governor believes, that the worst is behind us and that we are beginning to see the light at the end of this seemingly endless tunnel and set our eyes on the future. And it's because of partners like y'all and others throughout the state that we're going to be ending this pandemic. As we take a look forward, y'all may have seen that just last week the governor made an announcement that in partnership with the Southern Nevada Health District and others, that we were able to expand vaccination eligibility to all frontline workers in the commerce and service industry under the COVID-19 vaccine playbook, which meant that we were able to extend eligibility to all restaurant, cafeteria, hospitality, casino employees in Clark County in particular. It was a major step forward as far as getting our tourism industry back to work and getting folks back to the Nevada. And then additionally, last night the governor made another major announcement about two significant milestones in our vaccination efforts statewide. And in case y'all didn't see the press conference last night, starting on March 22nd, vaccination opportunities are going to be open to Nevadans 16 and older with underlying conditions. And on April 5th, all Nevadans age 16 and over will be able to get a vaccine and will be eligible. I know that the governor is extremely committed to making Nevada be known as the safest destination where tourists and locals alike feel safe and protected so we can get folks back to work and safely welcome back tourists to our amazing state. And I know that folks are, as I said, very anxious to get out of the house and get back to life again. And we want more than anything for the tourism industry to come back even stronger than ever, and we know that we're absolutely headed in that direction. With that, that is a bit of great news, I think, and I'm happy to answer any questions or speak further on anything if I missed anything. And I hope I didn't cross over into Caleb and Megan's remarks also.
Thank you, Madeline. That's great. I know I saw the press release last night. I just want this is phenomenal, and so for those people who aren't on the list or didn't see it, this is a great piece of information. Do the committee members have any questions or comments for Madeline? Looks like you're off the hook.
Thank you so much for having me, and really appreciate it, and you're welcome to share my comments and with your committee.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, so next on our agenda is Caleb Cage and Megan Lanson. And thank both of them for participating. I know they've been on the front line of this, and they have done yeoman's work. Caleb is the director of the Governor's Recovery Task Force and has been in the trenches since day one. He and I have had the pleasure of knowing each other and working with each other for many years in different capacities, and he's always willing to step up when asked and do the hard things. And Megan is on the front line in the governor's office. She's a policy analyst that is on the tip of the sword on this issue day in and day out with Caleb. So we welcome both of them, and Caleb, I'll let you and Megan determine how and which order you'll go in. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And make sure you can hear me good. So thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And Madeline, I think appreciate your comments as well. I think it set the stage perfectly for this. But I know that this committee has a lot of work to do, so we'd like to keep our comments relatively brief and make sure there's plenty of time to answer questions and those sorts of things. So Megan is going to, in a moment, basically give you an overview of where we stand today with COVID-19 in the state, and then I'll talk a little bit about the process going forward. And again, these are all things that are probably well known by all of you. So hopefully it just gives us an opportunity to have a great conversation. So as Madeline pointed out, we are moving quickly towards our vaccination goals here in the state. But that is only one tool. It's our best tool, but it's only one tool for the reopening process that's underway right now. The other comes in the form of mitigation and enforcement of mitigation measures. And so, as you all know from your experience here in the state and from various industries here, the governor has taken multiple approaches, from the full stay-at-home order to working with counties and the task force that Megan and I are on and others are on, to going for a statewide pause in order to ensure that we're minimizing the spread. As Megan will go into here in a minute, we have we're at a point right now where we're seeing success that we haven't seen in quite some time. In fact, some metrics that are better than we've seen since the beginning of the pandemic, and that gives us a lot of hope. And so with that, I'll turn it over to my colleague Megan, who can give you an update on where we are, and I'll follow up with a little bit of the way ahead. Megan?
Thanks, Director. So I'll just provide a brief update. As of today, Nevada has logged 300,415 cases of COVID-19 in the state, with a 14-day moving average, daily average, of cases being 213. Nevada has now completed a total of 2,863,567 molecular tests since the beginning of COVID-19 in our state. The test positivity rate over the last 14 days is at 5.2%. Just for comparison, as of February 8th, our test positivity rate was at 15.5%. The Nevada Hospital Association reports that Nevada is seeing a decline in COVID-19 hospitalizations. This decline has been continuing for the 14th straight week. Total COVID patients dropped another 50 week over week, with our current hospitalizations at 331. The Nevada Hospital Association also reports that emergency department visits for COVID-19 related symptoms remains between 8% and 9% for all visits. While these numbers are great and we haven't seen this data in a long time, now is not the time to take our foot off the brake. We need to continue with our mitigation efforts, and I know that message is not lost with all of you. In terms of COVID-19 vaccine efforts, as of today, Nevada has reached a tremendous milestone, with 1 million COVID-19 vaccines having been administered. That equates to 367,732 Nevadans being fully vaccinated with the two required shots or through the one dose of Janssen. Again, these are great trends and we're moving in the right direction. I'll now turn it over to Director Page for further information.
Thanks, Megan. I appreciate that. I think those numbers are extremely important for people like us who live in these numbers every day. I think these things are sort of natural for us, but to hear 14 weeks of declining positivity rates for, or hospitalization and otherwise, that's significant. That's a really big deal for where we're at right now. And we can go into a lot of interesting trends that we're seeing, such as we're falling more quickly than we've decreased before, which means which indicates, it doesn't necessarily mean, but indicates that perhaps the vaccine is having an effect and may continue to benefit us and keep us open as we move forward here. So there are a lot of members, there are a lot of people here on this, your committee, and I see Mr. Hill is here from LBCBA and others. A lot of folks who have been key advocates and partners throughout this entire process, and have understood that we are not in a place, or we have not been in a place, where we can go back to conventions, but we may be moving closer to that now, and being great partners in terms of moving, bringing together various industry representatives to determine what the best next steps are for implementing mitigation measures and so on. So because of those partnerships, because of the advocacy, because of the great work that's being done at the industry level, as well as the great numbers that we are experiencing here in the state, we've gotten to a place where the governor, as you all know, on February 15th, lifted the pause, which kept us at 25% capacity, went from 25 to 35%. And then earlier this week, I believe, earlier this week, went from 35% to 50% across the board. And then the next step is going to be transitioning to local authorities, which is going to occur on May 1st. And Megan and I and our task force members have been meeting with our colleagues, our fellow members, for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week to meet with counties to make sure that everybody is in the same, on the same page and understands what the next steps are going to be. But with the mask mandate in place, some social distancing requirements in place, and the Gaming Control Board regulations in place, we should be able to move pretty quickly back, hopefully safely and responsibly, back to getting the tourism economy in Nevada back to where we all want it to be. And I know I've seen some of the postings and some of the announcements about some of the events that are coming up. And I know we're excited at the state to see some of these, especially large conventions, coming back with mitigation measures in place. And we are, as everybody else is, hoping that the mitigation measures, the vaccination efforts, and all of the things that are within our control, or more in our control, will allow us to keep this critical part of our economy and people's livelihoods in Nevada open. So with that, Chair Robinson, I'd love to see if you or your members have any questions. We'll conclude our remarks there.
Any of our committee members have a question? And I will also say I saw that Herb Sanchez and Jane Moon have joined us. They are on the Commission on Tourism, so we thank them for also participating. And if they have questions, please indicate to Jessica. Anybody?
Hello, this is Julie Pizzina for the record. Thank you so much for all the hard work you do to get our tourism industry back up and running. I was excited to see last week that hospitality was included to have access to the vaccinations. And I was curious, I saw that was true in Clark County. Was that statewide that our hospitality workers can get vaccinated?
Thank you, Julie. This is this is Caleb for the record. So a couple of things there. One is we're really proud of the fact that we prioritize hospitality industry and hospitality workers for vaccination here. In fact, we have, I believe since January, that's been our plan. The Biden administration, around the same time of our announcement, came out and recognized hospitality workers as key parts of the national economy that should be vaccinated as well. We're grateful for that because it validates at least our position, but we would have done it anyway because it was the right thing to do, not just for Nevada, but for those essential workers here. The way this works, and I want to answer your question fully, and Megan may be able to provide me some more input. We've been in meetings all day, and I haven't seen the latest, but Megan, if you could check to see if Washington County has expanded to hospitality workers, that would be great. The way it works from the state perspective is we provide the playbook, which is basically the policy guide that says these are the groups that need to go first. And then once the allocation allows the individual counties to be able to move into those groups more quickly, then they're able to move into the next group. And so Clark County, for a number of reasons, was in a better position last week to move into the resort hospitality sector employees for vaccination, and the others requested not to because they still had needs that are priority groups that they needed to hit before they moved to the next group. So it really is a local decision, and they got to see your ability to do. Do you have anything on Washoe County?
Washoe County announced today that they were moving to vaccinate hospitality workers.
Thank you. That was in the back of my mind, but I maybe knows much more about this stuff than I do, so it's wise to defer.
Tim or Kristen? Abby? So Caleb, I have a question for you. We hear a lot about herd immunity and that we have to get to a certain percentage of people vaccinated is my understanding. What does that look like for Nevada, and do you have any numbers that can help us? You know, I think a million vaccinations is pretty phenomenal, but just your comments or your thoughts on the herd immunity component.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to kick this one to Megan as well, but neither one of us are public health scientists. So I can tell you that the numbers that we're hearing, we had a meeting in Clark County was on our meeting earlier today, and their number for Clark County is 60%. It's about 1.2 million of their population there, and that reminds me, I believe that's 1.2 million that would be their overall population, I believe. There are a number of different factors, and one is, the vaccine, the vaccines that are available for distribution are not yet tested and cleared for use on people 16 and under, or I think under 16 rather. And so we're already using a reduced portion of our population, the 60-70%. Numbers are the ones that I've heard from our public health professionals here in the state as far as herd immunity is concerned. I know that's a goal. We're going to keep moving forward as quickly as we can. As you know, the Biden administration has said they will have enough vaccine for everybody in the country who wants it by May 1st. That's wonderful. It's important for us to manage those expectations and say vaccine availability is not the same as vaccine distributed. So it's still going to take a little while for us to get all of that distributed. But our greatest limiting factor to date with the vaccination effort has been the federal allocation. So that should allow us to move towards something like herd immunity.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Caleb. Committee members, any other comments or questions for Mr. Cage or Megan? All right. With that, we will thank you again for participating and for all you're doing, and we will continue to keep our eye on messages coming out of your task force.
Thank you so much. Appreciate all you're doing as well.
And we're going to make one quick little change, unfortunately. Ms. Yolanda King, who's the county manager for Clark County, she, because of things that we're talking about right now, has got a conflict at about 3:45. So with everybody's indulgence, especially you, Steve, we're going to ask Ms. King to do her presentation at this point. We can't hear you. Okay, try it again.
I am unmuted, so let me. Is that better?
No, we can't hear.
Okay. All right, perfect.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the accommodations. I will be very quick because I believe a lot of really what I would like to cover as it relates to your committee. Mr. Hill will be able to give you that overview. But I wanted to piggyback off of the vaccination conversation. We are hot and heavy into vaccinations, and as Caleb mentioned, we are moving fast and forward and trying to get that herd immunity here in Clark County, because that is very important to bringing back the tourism industry, as most in particular the conventions, and making those folks feel that it's safe to come to Southern Nevada for tourism and conventions. So it is correct that we are aiming towards about 1.2 million of our population, of about 2.3 million, were trying to get vaccinated. It did help with opening up the hospitality industry with getting those folks vaccinated, because that is the number one industry here in Southern Nevada, gaming and hospitality. I also want to mention that opening up the front line of workers with vaccinations is also important to our airport operations because of tourism and bringing in those folks. And so that was very helpful in trying to get many of our airport operators vaccinated as well. We have about 20,000 employees at the airport, and so obviously that's important to make sure that those frontline employees are getting vaccinated as well. I think another issue that's probably going to be important, and I don't know if Mr. Hill is going to speak to this, but also what's important to, I'll say, for Clark County as it relates to tourism, our room tax dollars are down quite a bit, is the international travel. That is also important to the tourism. I think the numbers were about maybe 20-25% of our tourists pre-pandemic where it was related to international travel. And so, you know, obviously with that population, our tourism population not coming back, that, you know, obviously will continue to impact us here as it relates to tourism. Clark County, we are, our recovery is slow, but it's positive. We have been working here on a local level to push out a lot of the federal money that we receive as it relates to rental assistance, utility assistance, also as it relates to providing business grants to many of our businesses here. So we've received a lot of money from federal government. The first tranche of money, we were able to push out literally tens of millions of dollars to our constituents. Can I remind people to please mute? Thank you. Thank you. But I think also what's important is the business recovery side. And so we're able to and have been able to push out dollars as it relates to business recovery. That's pretty much what I wanted to update you on as it relates to our recovery and what we're doing here in Clark County. And really what our focus has been is just basically vaccinating. Business recovery, tourism recovery, and trying to get those federal dollars out to the folks that absolutely need it in order to be able to successfully recover. So thank you, and I'm open to any questions that you may have. Committee members, do you have any questions for Ms. King? So I guess I'm a little interested in how the May 1st transition, what that might look like, and I know you're still working on plans and might not be able to be definitive on that, but does that give Clark County the flexibility to start back with some of the smaller events and smaller conventions or doing things in more of your rural communities? Does that give you more flexibility to open up?
Absolutely would allow for more events to come back, absolutely. And so we are in the process of putting together our local plan. We have to submit that and obviously receive feedback and endorsements from the local community here. And we will provide that to the governor, I believe, sometime in April. So absolutely that is going to be critical to getting back and opening up and allowing events to come into the community. More than what they have, obviously, since the pandemic.
So if there's anything, I'm going to volunteer the link on Travel Nevada and that for your plan. If you would like to post that to make it more available for other people to know in different constituencies on what's going on, we'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. I know your afternoon got away from you, so we're appreciative that you were able to stick with us this long.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So next, we will go to Steve Hill, who is the president of the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, and I've known Steve and had the pleasure to work with him on a number of different issues, and I know that the LVCVA is in great hands. So take it away, Steve.
Yes, Madam Chair. I will tell you that I am always willing to yield the floor to Ms. King, so you can do that anytime you want. The other thing I'll say before I start is, you know this well, I do at some level. Being a part of the governor's staff is kind of a neat job, but it's pretty much a thankless job when times are good. When times are not good, it is real tough. It is 18 hours a day, 7 days a week of really thankless. And I just want to take the opportunity to thank everybody who is or was on the call. Their work through this has gotten us to this point and moved us forward. And I speak for all of us, a lot of people. Thank you, and you probably don't hear that. And certainly, just over the past couple of weeks, and culminated yesterday with the approval of concrete, we've worked with the governor's staff, local governments, Caleb. His folks really helped coordinate the healthcare professional input into that decision and protocols that need to be in place in order to move forward. That was a really important step that we took yesterday, and we're excited about what it means. And for those who have not seen it, World Concrete is the first citywide show in Vegas that has been approved to move forward with a, there's still a substantial set of standard protocols that they've agreed to do with a recognition that the show does not start until June 8th. So between now and June 8th, the environment, frankly, ought to get better. So they'll do what they have committed to do now. Hopefully they don't have to do all of that by the time they get to June 8th. But the entire industry was watching to see what concrete could happen. And the fact that it did, we've had three shows approved in the last 24 hours following that. And that's not only here, that's across the country. This will be the first major show to take place across the United States. Even though other states have been open to doing it, those shows have not been able to move forward because of the health situation. And getting exhibitors to commit to come and attendees to attend, regardless of what the state's protocols were or rules were in other states, those major shows have not happened. And so we made some news yesterday in the industry that would be very beneficial for Las Vegas and for the nation as a whole. As we look at our recovery, we look at it kind of three slices. There's a leisure piece, there's a meetings and conventions piece, which we just talked about and is now moving forward. And there is the live event space that includes sporting events and concerts and shows and properties. And is also needed, some of those bring visitors directly for the events, and some of those are just amenities, but you need those amenities in order to attract a full group back to Las Vegas. We think the leisure segment, which is a big segment of the total number, there's a lot of pent-up demand there. We have the luxury of being able to do research every week. And that, the trends on the luxury side have just followed that almost exact. So as things have gotten better, the interest in travel, the intent to book, the bookings that we are seeing both now and in the future are really good, showing a lot of improvement. So we think that will happen pretty naturally. And I'll talk about what we're doing in marketing in just a minute, which leads to all of this. Meetings and conventions are really important for the business. And the business travelers spend more than leisure travelers do. The companies are typically paying for the flight, their hotel rooms, and they have kind of the same budget, but they share all of that budget can go toward their entertainment, their meals, things like that. So the spend there is higher. And you can see it in our occupancy rates right now. Occupancy on weekends are between 20 and 30% higher than they are midweek. And that's certainly not a weekend occupancy. It's healthy is not enough to bring Las Vegas back into a healthy situation. Live entertainment takes, really, in most cases, a full audience, particularly larger shows. Circ shows, a concert with a headline entertainer, those things take the ability to get to 100% attendance in order for them to move forward. The governor has gone, restrictions have gone from 35% to 50%. And what that step is really take the percentage out of the conversation. And what is capping attendance now is the requirement for social distancing. You cannot socially distance either anything or much of anything at 50% of attendance. Because it's 50% of the fire code. Fire code typically is one person for every 15 square feet. So if you're sitting in your 10 by 15 foot bedroom, fire code would say you can have 10 people in your bedroom. 50% of that would be 5 people in your bedroom. That's still pretty crowded, and you can't get everybody 6 feet apart from everybody else in that environment. In a venue with fixed seating, that caps out at 20 or 30% attendance. And so raising it past 50% is not the functional issue at this point. It is the elimination, or somehow, if it makes any sense, the reduction of social distancing requirements in order to take the next step. In order to get the live entertainment at scale, we're going to need to have social distancing. Caleb and his folks talked about where we are on vaccine right now. I understand the reluctance, unless they really predict future of where we will be in 2 months or so. But as we look at what we are going to do, both from a reopening standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, we really feel like by the time we get to Memorial Day, 70% or so of the adult population, Caleb mentioned that distinction in these numbers. Approximately 19% of Nevada is under the age of 70. So you can pretty much take the statistics. We're at 22% of the people who have been vaccinated right now. You can multiply it by about 1.2 and get to the number of adults who have been vaccinated. The rest of those folks are not yet eligible and won't be kids. We think that we'll be at about 70% by the time we get to Memorial Day. And we also think that by the time we get into mid to maybe late May, there are going to be vaccine appointments available where people aren't filling. Which means you've gotten to the point where everybody has had the opportunity to make a choice. They will choose to have gotten the vaccine and have that opportunity, or they will have chosen not to. And at that point, the folks who probably all know people who are through the vaccination process, they all feel safe. And virtually everyone I know who's been fully vaccinated within 2 weeks feels safe. And the folks who have chosen not to be vaccinated probably do too. A lot of our visitors are going to have come to visit us around Memorial Day on a plane that's full, sitting shoulder to shoulder with a person they don't know. And they have chosen to do that, feel comfortable doing it. And so we're hopeful that once everybody's had that choice, that they can also then have the choice to sit shoulder to shoulder with someone they don't know because they feel safe doing that. Or if they don't, they don't have to come to that event. But we think as we head into summer, the opportunity to open up attendance to 100% should be there. with the caveats that, you know, we want to make sure that we don't have some completely left turn with the variant. And obviously, in order for that to take place, the vaccine rollout needs to continue at least at the pace that we are on. Provided those things happen, that's kind of our projection and hope at this point. Our marketing is evolving pretty quickly. Now, right now, our customers are in a full set of conditions. Some are still very concerned about health and safety. Some have not been through this entire process and still aren't. And we're adding to the group every day who are not really concerned about health and safety because they've gotten vaccinated. And so that is shifting pretty significantly and pretty quickly. We're in right now, most of what we're doing from a message standpoint is allowing others to give that message on our behalf. There's an article recently about our use of influencers, which we have done before, but we're doing a little more significantly now. Basically, testimonials about coming to Vegas and that it's still fun and it's safe and it's healthy and it's a great thing to do. We will evolve to telling our own message again. And I think the governor's decision to open up vaccinations to everyone on April 5th is also a signal for us to speed up what we had intended to do toward the end of April, probably to the middle of it. And our messaging at this point is largely to the leisure group. And we think leisure will kind of pop naturally on its own. Our messaging is to drive intent to travel after that pop. So as we get into the summer, help keep that level high and continue to grow. So we'll have a major campaign out that will start sometime in April and run through May and into June. And we hope at the end of that period of time, we will be able to announce the return of live entertainment at scale. The way that we have been able to just now announce the return of meetings and conventions. And so we'll kind of culminate the effort that we're in right now with a big build toward the announcement of live entertainment. So, Madam Chair, I've stayed my welcome, so I will stop and happy to answer any questions.
Never. Committee members, do you have any questions for Mr. Hill?
Hey, this is very much, Chair Robinson. Well, first of all, thank you so much for joining the call and for the wonderful update. I guess my biggest question is, have show managers, have people really shown an eagerness to come back as we get into the fall and into 2022? What have you seen?
Yeah, Steve Bell, it's a really good question. And it depends on the type of show, or the purpose of the show, and the industry of the show. So the big citywide events we have are trade shows, and almost all of them. And those trade shows are either owned by an association, and for example, CES is owned by the Consumer Technology Association. Broadcaster show owned by the National Association of Broadcasters. And those shows pay for those associations. And they need to bring them back in order to continue to exist as an organization. I mean, they are largely the funding source for those associations. And then there are professional trade show organizers. Informa, for example, is the largest in the world, a publicly traded company. They own World of Kayak. And that is their business. And so they need to get back to their business of putting on shows. Then you have corporate shows, meetings, and some of them are huge. Amazon comes every year here and brings 50 or 60,000 people. And then some of them are obviously much smaller. Some of those are profit drivers in and of themselves. They bring customers here, they bring vendors to those shows. Others are just meetings. And so, depending on the industry and depending on the purpose, some of those shows are very anxious to come back, and some of them are taking their time. The really big shows are all planned. We are more booked between July 1st and June, you know, fiscal year 22 for us, than any other year in our history. And we feel very confident that that schedule is going to happen in full. The only real question is the footprint of the show going to be as large? Probably not quite. And is the attendance going to be as big? And that's almost certainly not going to reach back to 100% attendance in that first, at least early in that first Saturday. As we get into 22, it'll be, I think, interesting to see, because that's really the meat of the big show schedule for January to May. As King mentioned, international is a big part of it. Almost 30% of CES are international visitors. So that will recover the slowest, and we're going to have to work with countries as well as airlines in order to facilitate that. So that will take more time. But on the other hand, domestic customers are not going to be going overseas as much for those types of things. So it may balance somehow. Madam Chair, I have one thing. The commission meeting the other day, there was a conversation around messaging. And not only what our research is showing, but I've seen research from airlines, properties, folks outside of Las Vegas. The health and safety message still resonates right now, and it's part of what we're doing, part of what everybody's doing. But that is pretty rapidly a diminishing priority for travelers. Our view is, I don't know, 3 to 6 weeks from now, that will not really be a driving influence in folks who are thinking about booking a trip a month or two. Because most people are going to start feeling like they either got the vaccine and they're going to be able to get it the next 4 to 6 weeks, and they're going to travel after they get it. They feel safe once they've gotten it. And that is what all of our research is showing. So, if World Without in particular is very well set up for all of that messaging, because it's easy to distance and do what you normally do in a lot of cases throughout World Without. Vegas needs crowds. And you know, we can't recover without crowds. So we have our advantages. We're the place that people think about first to escape, to do what they want, to not be bound by rules. So we have advantages there, but there again, Nevada across the state has a lot of advantages in what we have to offer as we come out of this.
So just one quick question then, Steve. Do you see that there will be possibly different standards or requirements for domestic participants versus international
participants? No, we don't. And so, you know, our job, there's been a lot of conversation around, you know, like mass testing or health passes. From a flight standpoint, I think there's a real possibility that health passports are necessary, because in order to allow the flight to happen, the country that we're flying to and from the what, and so that those conversations are happening. Once they get to the destination, our viewpoint is that at this point, masking and social distancing are really the key aspects of health and safety. Mass testing at scale is really not possible. I mean, we're the largest vaccination center in the state here in Texas. We're doing about 6,000 people a day, and it is, our parking lots are stuffed full, and there's lines out in front of the building. So if you try and do mass testing with 25,000 people, for example, World Country, it's going to be a week-long event just to get them all tested. So that really does not work. And soon, everyone is going to have the opportunity to either get the vaccine or decide that they aren't going to do that. And so those types of efforts, I don't think, are going to be necessary and are not part of the required protocol, for example, of voting.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time very much and the message.
Thank you.
So next on our agenda is Mike Larraghetta, and he's the Vice President of Sales for the Reno Sparks Convention Visitors Authority. We appreciate him for stepping in at the last minute. Charles Harris, who's the president of the RSCVA, is sick today. So Mr. Larraghetta, take it away.
Thank you, Pam. I appreciate it. It's great to be here. Good afternoon. It's nice to see so many names and faces attending today. I had this long presentation with all these notes, and after hearing Mr. Hill speak, I would like to just change my presentation to say what Steve said. No, in all seriousness, thank you, Steve. That was a great update. I appreciate it. You know, to echo his comments in regards to what the state, county level, city levels have been through this pandemic, and I also want to thank them for their hard work. But in addition to that, I think it's important to also recognize our friends in the South, in the hotels, the LBCBA, the amount of collaboration. I've had numerous calls with my counterparts down south, both on the hotel and the LBCBA side. But in fact, I spoke to John Schreiber today, and everybody's been extremely supportive and knowledgeable and willing to share what they're hearing, what they're seeing, which has made us all better. It hasn't been about what's important and just bringing business back to Las Vegas or bringing business back to Reno and Sparks and Lake Tahoe, but it's been about what's important to bring business back to the entire state of Nevada. So thank you for that. Thank you to your staff, Steve. They've been wonderfully appreciated. It's my pleasure to be here and represent Charles, and want you to send his regrets. So he's not feeling well, as Pam and Pam mentioned, but hopefully he's on the mend and we'll be back tomorrow. I want to approach this a little bit. Yes, I'm going to talk about what's going on in our market as it relates to meetings and conventions, marketing, tourism, special events, etc., because they're also vitally important to us. But I also want to approach it a little bit from what Northern Nevada and Washoe County went through as we entered this pandemic. When things started to go in dire straits in February and March, there was also this massive unknown about what that was going to represent, right? The hotels closing and what that was going to do to our, not only the hospitality industry, but the overall economy for the state of Nevada. And what we experienced in Washoe County is that we went into the budgets with the worst case scenario, as a lot of people in the hospitality industry experienced. There were furloughs, budgets that were decimated, eventually staff eliminated, which was extremely unfortunate in so many fronts. But in Northern Nevada, we were very fortunate, to be completely transparent. We went into it thinking, you know, we didn't know when the hotels were going to open back up. The governor obviously made decisions that was obviously in the best interest of Nevadans, and we respect that and appreciate those decisions. But what we learned through the pandemic is a lot of our hotels learned how to run a business from a different perspective and how they operated their facilities. We also learned a lot that who our customer is and how they get here and where they come from. And because of that, we were fortunate to perform at a level that we didn't anticipate, much better. As we go into our budget season now, you know, we're looking at what is a realistic number on what we think we're going to achieve. And the good news is that we have a benchmark and we have a playbook from this last fiscal that we feel has taught us a lot. So as we go into next year's fiscal, we're somewhat optimistic. One thing about pinch hitting for Charles today is I'm happy to pinch hit any time and things are going in the right direction. So that's a good thing, right? I'm happy to do that. If God forbid anything goes the other direction, I'm not available, so I hope he doesn't fall. But with that, I want to focus a little bit on the four segments that I mentioned earlier. Convention sales. So what we're seeing in Northern Nevada is we're definitely seeing our lead volume increase. We're seeing site inspections starting to happen. We've been working very closely with business and industry and submitting our plans for approval for groups that want to obviously materialize before June 30th. And we're also looking forward to working with the local jurisdiction as of May 1st when they take control in terms of capacity level and gathering limits. And we look forward to working with those individuals here in Washoe County. We've seen significant demand for the sports segment. I mean, I think for all of us that have kids that have participated in youth sports or competition sports or traveling teams, Reno's always done extremely well in the sports segment. It represents almost 50% of our production on the overall group number on an annual basis anyway. And so what we have seen because of that pent-up demand of kids wanting to participate, kids wanting to play, we've seen a huge demand in the number of tournaments that want to materialize in our market as early as April. A lot of the plans that we have submitted to business and industry are really in the sports segment. Obviously, the list of sports that are on the approved side, not those that are still, unfortunately, not available to participate at this time, but we hope that opens up as well, right? We want to see basketball. Basketball tournaments is a huge business for us here in the spring and the summer, so we're hoping that that opens up. As the numbers continue to improve. On the tourism side, the teams are working very closely with all the major OTAs. We've been working with our stakeholders and putting together cooperative marketing plans to really focus on the next 30, 60, 90 days. We've seen that our booking window has actually shortened, which there again, we think that is pent-up demand. And OTAs in this market represent a significant portion of our business. A lot of that is domestic. A lot of that is the drive market, different from Las Vegas, where you have the true package customer that is bundling their air and their hotel together. We see the majority of our businesses coming through the online travel agency portals represents over 90% of the business in that segment, in that third-party segment. Also, the international business is not as significant for our market as it is down south, so that hasn't hurt us as bad, but we're also focusing on that segment. We do have some lift. As we move into the next fiscal year and looking at opportunities and programs and co-op marketing in that front as well. The team's also looking at sales missions as early as June and July, and we're looking at markets where we have obviously existing lift and we want to support those carriers and those agents in those markets. We're also looking at new lift. We just announced a new flight out of Charlotte, American Airlines, and we're looking at a sales mission in that area, in the June-July area. And what we tend to do up here is we will combine both MNC and leisure into one, kind of a two birds, one stone philosophy, where we can go into the market and really promote both the meetings and convention segment and the leisure segment all as one. On the marketing front, we continue to manage spring and summer post-COVID messaging. As most of you have seen, most of our focus is on outdoor activities and open spaces, right? I mean, that is something that we promote diligently here in Northern Nevada and Lake Tahoe. For also those of you that live in this area, those of you that visit, you know how beautiful it is. And so open air activities, outdoor activities continues to be our messaging through our marketing division as we promote that out through digital, promote that out through print, and of course through social media. On the PR front, and I think Steve talked about this as well, is we're really looking at intenders, influencers, travel writers. We've seen a lot of requests and demand for them to start visiting our area. They want to talk about Northern Nevada, they want to talk about the state of Nevada, they want to write, they want to reach their bloggers, their influencers, and we need those people here. So it's good that we are seeing that request and those demands increase and getting them into the state and talking about everything that's going on here. On the regional air service side, RASC, we continue to work with them. We're a huge contributor to that organization here in Northern Nevada. And again, that's focusing on how do we help our airlines, existing airlines and existing flights, market the area to bring both FIT, to bring obviously gamblers and meetings and conventioners to our area. But we're also looking at new markets, opportunities to increase lift to the area, which we think there's opportunity there. Now, there's an interesting stat that I was on a webinar the other day, and Charles mentioned it, that going into the pandemic, the number of areas that serviced the Reno Tahoe International Airport, we had 17 cities pre-pandemic and going into the pandemic, which now we are at 19. Our seat capacity is down, but we've actually increased the number of flights, number of cities that are servicing Reno. Obviously, nowhere near the number of Las Vegas, but I think the message more is that we've actually improved and increased. And I think a lot of that credit goes to the team out at the airport. Darren Griffin, who's the new CEO, has done an exceptional job in his short term with us, and we're very fortunate to have him. As you all know, special events are a huge part of what we do in Northern Nevada, and they're extremely important. We need them, we want them, we've got to have them, and we look forward to hosting them this year, as early as this spring, in the summer, and this fall. Some of the events have already started selling tickets. The Reno Rodeo, I'm sure some of you saw that in the local trades, and ticket sales are going through the roof. But there's numerous events. I mean, from basically the end of May all the way through October, there is an event in Reno or Sparks or North Lake Tahoe, it seems like every weekend. So it is extremely important for those events to return, and we anticipate. Obviously, we're going to continue to monitor the cases and follow the guidelines that are established by the state and the local jurisdiction, but we fully anticipate those events returning to Northern Nevada and Reno, Sparks, and Lake Tahoe. All the events, just want to mention this, all the events that are on our website right now at Visit Tahoe, you know, visit RenoTahoe.com, intend on materialize based on the latest state gathering and capability capacity guidelines. So we hope that we're all crossing our fingers, of course, and toes that our numbers continue to decrease, and then we'll be able to host those events as early as this spring, this summer, and into the fall. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions from committee members? So I was really excited to see that Reno Rodeo was selling tickets, and did they have to go through a significant change in how they're going to produce the rodeo or the carnival in order to make it happen?
So I don't know the exact answer to that. My assumption is that they would have had to submit a plan like any major gathering, right? I don't know whether the Reno Livestock Event Center is considered a fixed capacity venue, which obviously had different guidelines and regulations versus a trade show or a convention hall, or even just a gathering in a social area. My assumption is that they did, and hopefully they got the green light to move forward.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay.
Appreciate you stepping in at the last minute. Our next presenter will be David Peterson. He's the executive director of Visit Carson City, which is our capital city's cultural convention visitors authority. And David is also the former director of the Department of Tourism and Cultural Affairs and has worked in the industry for a number of years. So thank you, David. I appreciate your participation.
Thank you, Jennifer. I don't know what more I can add about a little bit maybe from a rural perspective. As pleased to hear what Steve was saying about April as far as an inflection point. We kind of see that as the case as well. As of today, we're still coming out of the Visit Carson City Safely campaign. So we have a Discover Your Capital campaign. So we are today only advertising marketing to Nevada. But next month, we're going to start to open up a little bit, get into Salt Lake City, here in Boise. We're going to look at Washington, San Francisco, Florida, and then California and Arizona as well. So right now, again, we're still focused through the end of the month to Nevada and with our messaging. But what's interesting, you know, the safety message, we too are going to slowly kind of dial that back a little bit and really try to approach what's open. That's what we find people want to know. Now, we still, yes, want to know the first location, how we address that through our Visit Carson City Safety landing page on our website. We have some video series out there about the lodging properties and what they're doing from a safety protocol perspective. So we've done a series with bringing the lodging properties. We've also done that with restaurants, and we've done that with museums and galleries as well, which is more important to the Carson City. So we still have that message out there, but we really want to talk about what's open. And I'm sure for a lot of my colleagues, you know, and all of you on the call, it's been frustrating. You know, things open, they close, open, they close. And that's been something we're trying to work with the chamber and work with different associations, you know, in the city to all be on the same page as far as, okay, are you open? Are you going to be open a standard set of days, standard set of hours? You know, so we try to get that messaging up because being a visitor center here, you know, for Boston City, we've had some frustration when people are coming in. They see one thing on the website, something on our site, and then they show up to the particular track, and then it's not open, you know, by the way, our website. So we're going to move to this open messaging from that perspective. And Mike is right, special events are for Boston City. Baseball, softball tournaments, basketball. So this is kind of a core of Carson City outside of our cultural activities. And I'm happy to say it's not on the scale of the World of Concrete, but we just received the approval last night from Business and Industry to have our futsal tournament this weekend, which will be quite exciting. Very small, mind you, keeping underneath the 250 person limit, but that's the first endorsed event for Visit Carson City a year. So I'm excited to finally have some events coming back. What our challenge is right now with events is a lot of our events that take place in June and July, they have now pushed back to August and September because they're concerned just about what the rules may or may not be, what the capacity limits are going to be even into the summer. So we're starting to fill up end of August through September, and now we even have some events into October for ourselves, which is great. But everybody's sort of pushing into this last 6, maybe 8 week period. So we too, from a collaboration standpoint, been working very closely with the city and government services, and the 19th is part of the task force for the new changes and what our city goals are going to implement on May 1st. So we're trying to stay close. We're trying to give our you know, thoughts and feelings about, you know, the reopening and capacities and just the concerns that have been shared with us by event promoters, right, as they are looking to bring events back later on this spring and fall. So it's kind of an update from an events perspective. I just wanted to share kind of, if I can, you know, as challenging as this last year has been, I really do want to give credit to our tourism industry partners. You know, I'll give a couple of case examples of that. The Lee Arts Center, we had our Lebanon concert series that was completely canceled last year. 10-week concert series, 2,500 to 3,000 people, completely shut down. But what did they do? They started this whole flatbed drop concert series where we were bringing music out into the neighborhoods for residents. We had visitors who would go into the neighborhoods, and literally people were following them around, you know, on their mountain bikes as they were bringing, you know, the bands through different parts of Carson City. I'll use another example of the DMT railroad. So we did have to stop the train. But in the midst of the pandemic, we created a brand new experience on the DMT railway with rail bikes. Outside, outdoor experience, socially distanced, and it was a wonderful opportunity for folks who couldn't ride the train, but at least we got them out, you know, into the parts of the end. So echoing what Mike and Peter said earlier about, we have this wonderful outdoor space like Lake Orma Data, and we're really trying to take advantage of that and show people from Carson City, I kind of feel like we're a center point. So we've got Lake Tahoe, we've got Reno, we've got Virginia City, and of course, know it for itself. And so that's a part of our message. Base out of here, we can do all these other amazing things outside, boat, ski, whatever the case may be. As we move forward, though, we are working on messaging about how safe our museums are, galleries, right, those are going to be open. Because I think it's important, you know, a lot of people are concerned about going in to a museum. I get that. So we're trying to promote messaging behind, no, they have protocols in place. This is a safe experience that you can have with your family. And it's not something you can really about. So We are hearing some of those concerns, and we're working on addressing those as well. So, and the other thing I would say is, we have a lot of new restaurants that have opened during the pandemic. We have Staybridge Suites, which is always going to open next month, despite the pandemic. And so, you know, I know people are always looking, what's new, what's new? And from a motor coach perspective, we're working with folks from different groups, hopefully, as soon as May. Prison may open, the Nevada State Prison for tours, perhaps in May or June as well. So we've got some great investment that's taking place from our tourism industry partners, and that's helping us. So we obviously, of course, we're not as dependent, as you might say, on the international travel and on the convention side of things. So, you know, we've fared that way in Las Vegas, and you know, because of those two. And what's interesting is, a lot of our hotels came to us and said, hey, can you take a look at what kind of meeting space do we actually have in Carson City? Where, you know, a lot of owners don't have a convention center per se, and maybe they'll have a very small meeting space to understand what else is out there in Carson City, because they were getting calls from a lot of different companies in California wanting to get out of California and bring their business, bring their food, with the people here in Carson City. So that's something that's been new for us. So we created on our .biz page a whole resource section for convention and meeting space facilities. Wasn't even something on our radar, you know, pre-pandemic, right? And so I think we've moved from like a destination marketing to a destination management organization, I would say, in terms of our relationship with several of our partners, not only in Carson City, but also in the territory, and just collaborating with our other CMOs to kind of share experiences, and for visitors to be able to have somewhat of a great outside outdoor experience by visiting different communities within the Unicom territory. So that's, you know, what I would kind of throw out at the group. We also reimagined and recreated our Kit Carson Trail experience as well. And that was a collaboration with the city, with public works, state lands, state public works, the Historical Society of Carson City, among other groups. So it kind of forced us to rethink our own experiences and retool them and almost make them a little more sacred. I guess, you know, for folks to be able to get out and go and do those sorts of things. So that's a, you know, brief update from Carson City, and I just again want to give credit to all of our partners, and I think we were kindly rewarded earlier this month by Forbes, who acknowledged Carson City as the number one destination to travel to avoid the pandemic. So I think the work of everybody here in Carson City paid off quite nicely.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions from our committee members? You already answered my question, David. I was going to ask you about the sports tourism in Carson City, because I know it's been something that city has really taken a pride in, and so that where that's happening again and you're getting the tournaments coming back is really positive.
Yeah, we're trying. And you know, there's some concerns about local government madness and camping in the park and how that all went to work. You know, we're going to know what can be done. And my comment to a couple of hotels is, look, they're not able to do camping at the park. Well, then they're going to be staying in your hotel property. That's a good thing, right? If you look at it. And it's just, it's a lot of coordination. Sure, and I think there's a lot of new players that are involved in the process, but I think just slow down a little bit and let's make sure we're all on the same page and we're presenting the same goal, right, to be able to have a softball tournament or basketball tournament or whatever the case may be. Make sure we're collaborating with each other. So it's been fun, you know, and I'll throw out another thing, you know, who would have thought as a DMO, you know, would be in the business of producing hand sanitizer. But believe it or not, you know, with CRF money through the city, partnership, we've distributed 18,000 little miniature bottles, which I have, if I have them, that's what I show you, of hand sanitizer to hotels, to galleries, to restaurants, you name it, every, you know, possible business in Carson City. It went over so well. We ordered 10,000 and blew through those, and I had to call the city manager and say, hey, could we get another 10,000, please? You know, so some very different new things that I've been doing in Carson City.
Thank you, David. And we now go to Caroline McIntosh. She is the chair of the White Pine County Tourism and Recreation Board, and I've worked with her for a number of years, and she is a force of nature. So, Caroline, take it away.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. We're working on sharing the screen. We don't get asked to the dance all that often, so we thought we'd better get ourselves organized. So if you'll wait just a moment, it will come. There we go. Can you see that now?
Now we can.
Oh, thank you so much. So it's been really interesting to listen to our partners in Reno, Las Vegas, Carson City, and also to hear from the governor's office and, of course, our lieutenant governor. In White Pine County, we are a drive market only, and we're at the intersection of US 93, 50, and 6. We're outdoors 100%, so we're always open. And just as a difference, we have actually been in session, our schools have been in session the entire year. So we just have a totally different set of challenges or opportunities. The other part is that our unemployment in December was 3.1%. So if you wanted a job in White Pine County, you could get a job. And we actually have gone up 3% in our year over year, this last year, on room taxes. So we just have the credit to being outdoors all the time, and we have also just that we're an anomaly because predominantly we're a mining town. So what we have done is how we are going to recover. We started looking at this last year early on, right before our budget season. We came up with our board, looked at how are we going to recover, and we looked at it through three different ways, through investment in ourselves, and in our tourism assets, in partnerships, and in small towns, it's partnerships make it or break it. And so our partners are our community, the state, and the region. And then our marketing, and we've doubled down on marketing, and we want to say thank you to Duke NCOT for all of the grants, because we were able to reach markets that we couldn't afford before. So we started with rebranding. And we were elevated, and you know, elevated, we're 6,500 feet in elevation, but now we're elevated. So we started with a new website, we have a new social media platform, new logo, thousands of new images, all the print pieces, stories, itineraries, and all these professionally done videos. And of course, Travel Nevada has access to 100% of these, because that's our strongest partner, is Travel Nevada. We've been rebranding, and we're just that year-round mountain town. We have major events, and we have this unique arts and history. But the one thing that we really wanted to focus on was our outdoor recreation. It is the best in the state. You might think, well, how could you be the best one? Well, we definitely are marketing, promoting, and developing it, but not many places can say that. They have caving, disc golf, ice fishing, spear fishing, bat biking, and the list goes on, as you can see. And we have those phenomenal dark skies. So the three leading investments for the outdoors starts with our dark skies. And our partners are Great Basin National Park, the only national park in the state of Nevada, and Nevada Northern Railway. And of course, White Pine County Tourism and Recreation. The three of us partner together. There's an astronomy festival in September. We have star photography workshops, star trains, sunset stars, and champagne trains. And now this brand new initiative is called Park to Park in the Dark. And we are linking Great Basin National Park with Death Valley. So we'll be going from Baker to Ely to Tonopah to Goldfield to Beatty so that we can connect our state through US 6. This is a huge project, and Travel Nevada, of course, is involved with this, as they are with everything. And we have all the land agencies, all of those different tourism and cities, communities along the way to partner together. Then, of course, our next one is Great Basin National Park. We're investing. And they are, that's the National Park Service and also the town. It's so quaint, the town of Baker. And the actual unofficial mayor of the town of Baker is our lieutenant governor because she is there so often. And she's just become one of the residents out there, they think. And we're very, very honored to have her so often. So really, Great Basin National Park is a land of extremes. We've got the tallest mountains, the oldest trees, the only glacier, and of course, those beautiful night skies. So we've been working on enhanced marketing. Last year, during the pandemic, in that big season, they still had 150,000 visitors. And it was amazing what had happened, how we became a destination. And of course, they had all the collaboration on the astronomy programs. You may not realize it, but the only observatory in a national park is located at Great Basin National Park. And so if you go on to Great Basin Observatory, you can see the images. And our own Western Nevada College, University of Nevada, Reno, are research partners in this. It's really an amazing opportunity for us. And the third thing we're investing in is mountain biking. So we have these amazing partners with the Forest Service, the BLM, Nevada State Parks, Great Basin Trails Alliance, and Nevada Northern Railway. We really have phenomenal land managers. So what our goal is from downtown Ely, we'll be able to access 100 miles of non-motorized trail for hiking and biking. So of course, hashtag ride Ely, Nevada. So how do we invest in the outdoors for mountain biking? Well, we currently have 50 miles of world-class single track. And with the Forest Service adding a 35-mile expansion plan, and then the BLM and the International Mountain Biking Association with 25 miles of trail that they're working on for the accepted plan, we're going to be over our goal. We're recognized by internationals on our mountain bike community, and we're recognized recently by industry leaders as a mountain biking's next boom town. What we always had in Ely is our beautiful public art, which has been 21 years of this through the Ely Renaissance Society. So we continue to build on these assets. We have 4 new murals this last year and 2 new mural refreshes. Plus, we've done an audio mural tour. We're investing in history. Nevada Northern Railway, and through the astrotourism that they do, this star trains sell out a year or two in advance. It is just amazing, where they have a concrete platform that to go out, and Great Basin National Park astronomy brings in these high-power telescopes for the folks that are riding the train on the star train to be able to see exactly the stars. And I've been on it, I've worked with it, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. So they started, Nevada Northern started the Champagne, the sunset stars in Champagne now. And so we can't get enough of stars around here. So the one thing is when trains sell out, they just add more trains. You know, when the people are here, we just need to fire up the trains. So the new programs for that will be trains to trails. So you load your bike on the train anytime, they'll drop you off and you just ride your bike back. And then High Rail 18, which you see in the image, and that goes on. Actually, it was part of Nevada Northern Railway, and we've gotten a lot of grant money to refurbish that, and you can rent that to go on the railway. It's a 1950s Pontiac. We've been investing in history. We have a partner in the White Pine Public Museum and the McGill Drugstore. They're open 7 days a week, and White Pine County Tourism and Recreation invest a lot in this museum to help them go keep going so we can preserve our history. But the new thing coming is the ping pong train. And it'll be a ping pong train from Nevada Northern Railway to the museum. And it again strengthens that partnership. We're also investing in events. We have Fire and Ice Winter Arts and Athletic Festival. And that's of course, the only place that you can see all those fireworks being shot from the moving train. We have them shot from downtown Ely. And as you know, we're kind of in a bowl, and so it echoes. It's just absolutely beautiful in the winter skies. We have the horse races, which will be the third weekend in August. Quite unique. Elko is the only other community with horse racing. Race the Rails and new trails. And so Race the Rails, it's mountain bike and road bikers. Highway bikers will race the steam train back to the station. Of course, steam train has to give them a little bit of time. Then we have Fears, Tears, and Beers, and it's the only enduro race, the longest one. Oh, first and the longest running, and that's 16 years, and that is phenomenal, where they ride their bikes through the casinos, and it's really quite fun. And then we added the White Pine Main Street, added the Ely Film Festival a year ago, and it was in person right before everything shut down, so this year we were virtual. And we will be adding the all-class reunion where all of our alumni come home in July. We've been investing in our convention center, and if you've been here, it's a small convention center because most everything's outdoors, but all the facility upgrades so that we continue on with, this is the one place people can meet, whether it's a funeral, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a conference, and we want to make sure we have the most current AV technology. And we also collaborate with the Ely Art Bank, and we have a revolving art show in here. Most of all, we appreciate the cleaning and sanitation technology that we were able to get through the CARES Act, through the City of Ely and White Pine County, to actually make sure that we can be safe in here in this current pandemic. So we, for the first time, have paying customers in quite a while at Bristol Palm Convention Center, and it was such a shock to see cars parked here, and so it was the annual refresher for the mine, and it was certainly nice to see people back here. Socially distanced, of course. So we're also investing through our White Pine Main Street Association, and we want to thank Patty Herzog from Rowan. We're part of the Nevada Main Street family, and our goal is to make sure that our downtown is open and vibrant. We invest a lot of money, Main Street, in making sure our local businesses stay solvent. We have all kinds of campaigns going on to help these folks get drive business through the doorway. But we're also improving our signage and the infrastructure. We have new businesses, and we support events like the Ely Film Festival. And then we have a new visitor center, and White Pine County Tourism and Recreation paid for a remodeling of the chamber, and that's where we've moved most of our visitor information since it's right downtown. So it's one stop, and people come in 7 days a week. Over the last year, we have come to a new realization that we were the communities, that we were a drive-through market. If you're going to Moab, or if you're going to California, people drove through. We had a big stop at Great Basin National Park. But this last year, we became a drive-to destination. And that's really exciting for us because, again, we're so isolated. For those that haven't been here, the closest Walmart is 3.5 hours away. So you just put it in perspective, and to become that destination is very exciting for us. So with that, I'd like to say thank you, Madam Chair, and are there any questions?
Thank you, Caroline. Are there any questions from our committee members? I just have to say, Ely's one of my favorite places, and I've been out there for a number of these events, and they have just done a phenomenal job to create a community and events and doing things outside that just complement the kind of community that Ely is. So I really appreciate you coming on and showing us what you were able to do during this pandemic and what we all have to look forward to.
Well, thank you so much, Pam, and just a very strong debt of gratitude to our partners at the Commission on Tourism, because without their help, you can see that they are a main partner in most of our activities. So we certainly want to make sure they know that they're valued.
Thank you. So we are now going to Brenda Spoleri. She is the director of this wonderful department, and she and her staff are small but mighty, and have, I think, done wonderful things during the pandemic. So thank
thank you, Brenda, for giving us a quick update on what Travel Nevada has been doing.
I unmute myself. Thank you, Pam. Hello, tourism colleagues. I know I'm batting cleanup here, so I'm just going to quickly run through my notes on what I thought I'd briefly talk about is some of the silver lining outcomes for our agency in a very tough year for all of us. You know, Travel Nevada has experienced a lot of change and hardship, but the good news there is some of our recovery strategies have proven to be of value long term, excuse me, and they will become a part of our new strategic plan. Our projections in the next fiscal year continue to improve, which is also good news, and we look closely and often at travel sentiment to adjust our planning. We just had a media buy approved this week by the commission that will mark our first efforts in domestic markets. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but you know, we're all just so happy to be at that point. As you all know, Travel Nevada had dramatic reduction in its revenue this fiscal, and we relied on coronavirus relief funding to award grants to our tourism partners for their own open and safe messaging, but also to fuel our in-state campaign, Discover Your Nevada. That campaign targets Nevada residents, promotes exploration of local communities, including day trips and overnight road trip stays within our borders, to try to boost our own economy. And this campaign has been just remarkably effective. We recently surveyed residents, and 78% were planning in-state travel in the coming 12 months. So we'll continue to produce content aimed at residents because we know they become the ultimate of brand ambassadors. Also in our recovery plan is expansion of our destination development program, in which Travel Nevada and a bigger team helps facilitate long-term growth in local tourism economies, many of which have been significantly set back by the pandemic with business closures, et cetera. So far, we've focused on Lincoln County, holding stakeholder workshops to establish baseline opportunities and implement a strategic roadmap that will benefit existing businesses and build upon regional outdoor recreation assets like the incredible trail system in Caliente, is their best example. We've established a destination development team, some of whom are on this call, made up of state and federal partners such as the Division of Outdoor Recreation, the Office of Economic Development, UNR, U.S. Department of Ag. And I wanted to emphasize how important these collaborations are to us, not only because they meet mutual goals, but because they move us more quickly to a direct benefit to residents. We are stronger when we work together and collaboratively rather than on parallel paths. And as our state now works to diversify the economy, you know, another result of the pandemic is it kind of exposed or further exposed our vulnerability in that area. Travel Nevada will continue to stand for the importance of tourism as a fundamental to a better quality of life for all Nevadans. Tourism businesses make our communities better places to live and work, and without them, our cities and towns aren't as vibrant and aren't as attractive to other job-creating sectors. This year, as I hope you know, and I hope you've participated in, we made a commitment to more frequent industry calls and communication with our statewide partners and others. We invited speakers and tried to, you know, always incorporate educational component whenever possible. Those started about, you know, were COVID-related and looking at effects and needs, but have turned into a real kind of forum for communication similar to this call today. these connections with our territory committees, the RSCBA, LVCBA, all the local DMOs and chambers are more important than ever as we experience the recovery from the coming year. We should all be talking about how we plan to prioritize the visitor experience above all. Nevada is, of course, renowned for hospitality. It will be a critical factor in this transitional time. We really have to distinguish ourselves as a destination that makes every business and leisure traveler not only comfortable related to health and safety, but comfortable with their travel choice, because there are a lot of choices, and comfortable that they decided to come to Nevada or Vegas or Reno or one of our wonderful cities or towns, but then ready to book it again. Overall, I really feel like Travel Nevada's partnerships and programs have evolved and become more focused during the pandemic. That's something I didn't expect or count on, and we'll be even more prepared now to help our economy reach full recovery. I'll just wrap up by saying, you know, we're looking very closely at tracking the federal American Rescue Plan funds and what will be available to us as a state DMO, either through the state allocation or possibly the EEA. And we'll, of course, be ready to share that information, whatever we know, with our tourism partners as well. That's all I have, Pam.
Thank you, Brenda. You guys have done yeoman's work, so it is wonderful to hear that. I am going to ask my fellow committee members to keep their comments to a really, 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 really bare minimum. So we are coming up against our time frame, and if we can have some public comment, I'd like to. So, Julie, do you have?
Yes, thank you so much. Julie Pizina for the record. Really, I just wanted to thank Travel Nevada, the commissioners that are on the call, the Commission on Tourism, this committee, especially Chair Robinson, for all the work you put into making this successful. Thank you to all of our speakers. And on a personal note, as part of the tourism community here in the state, I can't thank all of you enough for being on this call, for caring and loving and being so passionate about the tourism industry. Thank you for all you do, and I hope that you enjoyed all the extremely educational and informative speakers. Thank you.
Abby, do you have anything?
Thank you. I just wanted to echo the comments that Julie had, and also mention what Brenda said about partnerships. I think that's really been the key through this whole pandemic. And Caroline also mentioned this as well. Those partnerships have just been critical, and I'm just happy to participate and work together across the state, no matter where we're at, even through Zoom. just really thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Patty. Kristen, do you have anything you'd like to add from ELCO?
Sure. Kristen with Bigler for the record. I just want to echo the previous comments. I'm really grateful for all the information that was presented today. As a person who is in the process of planning a major event in Elko, Nevada for next January, I think I probably speak for a lot of the other folks who are doing live entertainment or planning events. Like, you really just want somebody to tell you what's going to happen in the future, and I think we've all become a lot more accustomed to uncertainty, but having access to this information and just creating this dialogue, thank you to Pam and Julie for all the work you put into organizing it. It's really appreciated.
Thank you, Kristen. Tim?
I also wanted to say thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for everybody for participating today. You know, as president of the Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce in Nevada, we've actually grown. We've grown tremendously over the last 3 months. And as our last meeting, which was only a week ago, the travel and tourism business is coming back for the small business person. Our convention services are growing. Our rentals are growing. Our models, our entertainers are growing. So it's all positive news, and it's because of organizations and groups like this. So thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for all the hard work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. And I just noticed that we also have Commissioner Jill Langdon on the call from the Boulder City Chamber of Commerce, and she has a comment that she'd like to make. Go ahead, Jill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jill Langdon for the record. Thank you very much for the great information. The stats and data sure have improved and allow us to take a little bit of a deep breath as we're looking ahead. We are all so grateful for the larger cities that provide the bulk of economic stimulus for Nevada and know they're working hard to get back to normality. Representing a rural community in Nevada, I am running into recovery speed bumps that have been a bit frustrating as we are within the larger Clark County, yet are in the city outside of Las Vegas. Our COVID numbers have proportionally been less, but we are still abiding by the restrictions of Clark County and understand being two players. But I'd like to point out that the checklists and templates that have been developed have been in regards to larger indoor venues like stadiums, ballrooms, and concert halls. In the smaller cities like Boulder City, we do not have indoor event space. Our events are outside on city property, and the guidelines have not assisted us with the needed requirements for us to hold public events, so we are stalled in the process. And but there are still larger events like in Vegas, such as NASCAR and ABC, and they're able to hold their events and plan in the short term. We'd be really appreciative of anyone that has input into the recovery process with regards to logistics, guidelines, and approval processes to remember rural communities and their space limitations as we all work together to assist the rural to having events again that do mean a world of difference to the small and micro businesses in Nevada. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Langdon. Appreciate those comments. Mr. Santos.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, as a born and raised Nevadan, I want to personally thank all that each of you do for the state of Nevada. And by each of you, I mean this committee, our tourism staff, and all the partners that are on this call. I wanted to take this opportunity to be able to express my gratitude not only as a commissioner from the Tourism Commission, but as a Nevadan. We are in good hands with you folks, and I feel comfortable that our emergence from the pandemic will be done in true Nevada form, and we will continue to be the premier destination, tourism destination, and the safest destination in the world. I want to give a special acknowledgement to Chair Robinson, who has provided this committee with unparalleled leadership. I know I speak for all Nevadans when I say thank you to you, Chair Robinson, this committee, and all of our tourism partners in the state. I just want to, I thought I was going to do this as a member of the public, but thanks for everything that you folks do.
Thank you, Commissioner Santos. I appreciate that. So we have a few minutes left. I can hopefully try to stretch it a little bit if we've got public comment. If we do, wave at Jessica. And if we do have public comment, if you could limit it to a minute, that would be really helpful in the event we have more people that would like to speak. Any comments from anybody? Well, thank you so much. I'm really pleased with this. I think we got just a plethora of terrific information, and it's very timely. And I think what it shows more than anything is the resilience of Nevada, regardless if you're the urban center down in Las Vegas or you're one of the rural communities that we've got the governor's office, the lieutenant governor's office, and departments all looking towards this economic recovery that is so instrumental to our community. And I totally see us the light at the end of the tunnel, and I just think that when we unleash the creativity and ingenuity of Nevadans and Americans, there is no telling where we'll end up. And I have really appreciated being able to chair this, and I look forward to continuing to work with all of you. And as we open up safely and return to being the entertainment capitals of the world. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Julie Pizzina for the record. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Do I have a second?
I second that motion.
Great. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you for your time and for everybody's help. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Oh.